Here in Massachusetts, you can call someone a townie without having to explain exactly what that means. We sort of know. But it's not often you hear someone refer to himself that way. In his new memoir, local author André Debuse not only calls himself a townie, it's also the title of his new book. Debuse was raised in the Merrimack Valley, bouncing from one mill town to another after his father, a respected short story writer and college professor, left his mother to raise their four children more or less on her own. When Debuse joined us here to talk about the memoir, we talked about the tension between the academic world his father inhabited and the gritty reality of being a kid from the wrong side of the tracks.
Well, it's complex for me. You know, I've never quite felt part of the group that I tend to be with, which are college-educated, you know, well-behaved people. I've never quite felt part of that group, and I've never quite felt like the working-class group I grew up in. I've always felt like a strange combination of the two.
From a young age, you were surrounded by a lot of violence. You were beat up. You saw your friends, your classmates get beat up, get stabbed. Your sister was actually forcefully raped when you got a bit older. Were you an angry kid?
I was not angry at first. I was a hurt, terrified kid. I was a small guy physically, and I read books, and I wore glasses, and I used words like actually and not necessarily. And I got my butt kicked for that. And I took it and took it and took it until I snapped at age 15. And I began to transform my hurt and my fear into rage. And I frankly think that's what millions of young men learn to do. I think that first we're hurt, and then we're angry about the hurt, and then we're, you know, encouraged to express that aggression.
All right, tell us about the snap, that trigger in terms of, it was 1975, right?
Yeah, 74, 75, somewhere in there. I was, the word was out on the street that my younger brother was going to get beaten up by a grown man who was coming home from the army on leave to do it. The reason being my brother was playing kissy face with his little sister, and he didn't like it. I mean, my brother was 13 years old. I was 14. And this grown man beat up my brother in front of me, and I did nothing to protect him. I pleaded for him to stop, and, you know, the guy promised to do me in too, and I didn't move.
That was when you started working out.
Yeah, I started working out right that day.
Read to us from the book the description of that moment.
Okay. I stood in front of the sink in the mirror. I was almost surprised to see someone standing there. This kid with a smooth face and not one whisker. This kid with long brown hair pulled back in a ponytail. This kid with narrow shoulders and soft arm and chest muscles and no balls. This kid had no balls. I looked into his eyes. I don't care if you get your face beat in. I don't care if you get kicked in the head or stabbed or even shot. I will never allow you not to fight back ever again. You hear me? Ever. Not once. Ever. Again. I ran up the back stairs and closed the door to my room. I got down on my hands and knees, straightened my back and legs, lowered my chest to the floor and pushed back up. I did this as many times as I could, the dusty rug rising to my face, Jeb's head snapping back, his hair flying. I may have done 7 or 8 push-ups. I turned over on my back and began doing sit-ups. My stomach muscles burned right away. I hooked my hands behind my head and jerked myself up for 2 or 3 more. I was sweating and breathing hard. Then I remembered the weight set in the basement.
You end up in college.
Yes.
Because of your father.
Yeah, thank God.
You describe this moment in the book where you're supposed to go to a boxing practice, but instead you sit down and you start writing like your father. Was it really a seminal moment like that, or is that just how you like to remember it?
Well, no. I have to say the way I wrote it is absolutely loyal to my memory of that event, and it's been really clear in my head all these years. I was training for the Golden Gloves down in Lowell. I was living in Salem, Mass., working construction. And, yeah, one night, dressed to go train for the match, something made me sit down, brew a cup of tea, and I started to write a paragraph. And I've never written creatively in my life. I can't even, it felt, I hate, you know, this is an overused word, but it felt like a spiritual calling. It felt like a spiritual nudge. It felt very mysterious. I didn't know why I was doing it. But, you know, after that writing session, a few months later, I finished my first story, and I just felt like André for the first time in my life. I just said, well, I feel more like me now when I'm writing. But I sure as hell didn't want to be a writer.
I chuckled out loud when I read at one point in the book. It was funny for me anyway. When you talked about going to Fenway Park for the first time, how old were you?
18.
You didn't know anything about baseball at 18. You didn't know anything about Fenway Park.
Nothing. Listen to this. You know what actually began this whole book? I wasn't trying to write a memoir at all. This was an accidental memoir. I was writing an essay about baseball. My kids made me baseball fans. I got into it when they got into it. And now I watch 80 games a year. I'm a huge Red Sox fan. I'm a big Patriots fan now. But, you know, as a sports fan, I'm probably about 10 years old. I just missed all that. Here's the image, though, that gave birth to the essay, that gave birth to the book. My brother and I are building my house. We're both in our early 40s. And a couple of laborers on the job are talking baseball. My brother turns to me and he says, "So what? There's an American League and a National League?" I said, "Yeah, what's that about?" He says, "I don't know." I said, "Me neither. What's that about?" Isn't that weird? Two kids who grew up 40 miles north of Boston.
Let me ask you a little bit more about your dad. He was a respected author in his own right, but he left your family when you were pretty young to be with one of his female students, even though he maintained a presence in your life. In some ways, later on, it felt like he was more like a drinking buddy than your father.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily feel this way in the book, but did you feel resentment toward him?
No, I didn't resent him, but when he died, it felt very familiar, and I didn't know why. And I realized, I know why it feels familiar. It feels just like when he drove away when we were 9 and 10 years old.
So do you think that your own understanding of your relationship with your father evolved or changed because you wrote the book, while you're writing book,
yeah,
and because you wrote the book?
Amen. You know, I love that line by E.M. Forster. He said, "How do I know what I think until I say it?" I got some real illumination happened for me writing this book about me and my old man. But we're very different men for, you know, very different reasons, in the way that most of us are not like our fathers or our mothers, really.
And your kids are not like you were.
Not even slightly. They've never, you know what, I don't think they've ever experienced cruelty. And my two sons are all-star pitcher, golden boy athletes when I didn't even know what baseball was growing up. My daughter is just this powerhouse with great self-esteem. You know, I pinch myself. They're having a different childhood. I'm very grateful for that. It's almost enough to make me a believer in God and angels and miracles.
Andre, thanks a lot. Good to meet you.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me.
Andre Debuse is the author of The House in Sand and Fog, which was a finalist for the National Book Award in Fiction. His new memoir, Townie, went on sale yesterday. This evening at 6, Debuse will discuss Townie at the Brattle Theater in Cambridge with the author Richard Russo.